you can experience Jesus today. Not in a physical form, but the same spirit that lived in Jesus as he walked throughout the earth. That spirit is here today. The same power of God.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio with author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Mark Job. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Hollick, and I'm here with Pastor Mark. And Pastor Mark, people are listening often on a daily basis, being encouraged by the Word of God. And I just wanted to help people see maybe a little bit more of the ministry that you and the team at New Life are doing. And one of those I wanted to highlight today is called New Life Cities. And tell us about the vision for reaching other cities.
Yeah, New Life Cities is a ministry that we started only a couple of years ago as we started to realize that the population of the world has tipped. And now there's 52% of the world's population live in urban centers. Joshua, wow. They tell us that there's 400 cities in the world that have a million people or more. Imagine
Incredible.
That, 400 cities.
Incredible.
And so we realize that God has given us the grace to operate in a city like Chicago. And so we have targeted 10 other cities outside of Chicago to plant what we call movement churches, rapidly reproducing disciple-making churches. And so in the last two and a half years, we've planted one in Querétaro, Mexico. Try saying that five times real fast. Querétaro, Mexico, which is an awesome work. Beautiful. Boy, I wish I had time to tell you more about that story. And then we've also planted in Santander, Spain. So we planted in two cities. We're looking at eight more cities. We're exploring Lima, Peru right now and have sent some teams down there. We're exploring some cities in Europe. So pray with us for cities of over a million people that God may be leading us to. And if you have a burden or a heart for a particular city or a connection in a city that you think we may fit well with, then reach out and contact us because we're looking for divine open doors at this time.
Amen. You can find out more at newlifecities.org. Yeah, there's videos there. There's information about where we're looking and how we're praying to be involved in the global work. And we'd love to hear from you. That's newlifecities.org.
Good evening, everybody. We continue with Pastor Mark's series called Jesus Up Close with Part 3 tonight. His message is called, It's Not Too Late. Our text for today will be found in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, and verses 35 through 43. Here's Pastor Mark with his message, It's Not Too Late.
Some of us have seen Jesus from afar. Some of you grew up knowing about Jesus. But to you, Jesus was that crucifix in the hallway. A Jesus with his head hanging low, a crown of thorns, always in agony, nails in his hands, piercing in his feet. And your image of Jesus is the crucified Jesus. Some of you, for a long time, you've worn a cross around your neck, and some of you have a crucifix with an image of Jesus on your neck. And to you, it's that little Jesus, it's that crucified Jesus that you're most familiar with. But if I could take you and bring you to the presence of Jesus, and if I could have you walk close up to Jesus, not from afar, but close up, if you could look into his eyes, if you could hear his voice, if you could experience the touch of his hand, if you could sense the compassion, the love, the power coming from his heart, you would be forever changed. I believe you can experience Jesus today. Not in a physical form, but the same spirit that lived in Jesus as he walked throughout the earth. That spirit is here today. The same power of God. And we've been looking at stories where Jesus encountered people and learning from the encounters of Jesus. And in Mark chapter 5, there's a story about a man that was desperate to seek after Jesus. The events unfolded in the story so that the man felt like it was too late. And that's what I've entitled today's message. It's not too late. Maybe some of you are here today feeling like it's too late. It's too late for my son or my daughter. It's too late for my life. I've made too many mistakes. I can never get on the right track. It's too late for my marriage. It's too late for my own destiny and purpose. It's just too late. And if you're here feeling like it's too late for you, I want you to listen up. I want you to hear well, because I believe God has a message for you today. I'd like for you to stand for the reading of God's word, Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 23. It says, "When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue's rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.'" So Jesus went with him. A couple weeks ago, I talked to you about the woman with an issue of blood. Jesus encounters this woman, gets distracted by her. The whole event surrounding this woman and her healing takes place. And after that, in verse 35, it says, "While Jesus was still speaking to this woman that had been healed, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?'" You see, they felt like it was too late. Verse 36, "Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, 'Don't be afraid, just believe.'" Word of the Lord, you may be seated. I want to set the scenario for you a bit. Jairus was an official from the synagogue. He was a high up leader, a religious man. The synagogue for the Jews was the equivalent of the church for us. He was familiar with the things of God, familiar with Scripture. He was a man that had lived a fairly righteous life. He was looked up to by people in the community as someone that did good. But something happened to him that would shake his world. Now, how many of you know that bad things happen to good people as well? Something happened to him that just rocked his entire world. His 12-year-old daughter became very sick. And how did it start? I don't know. Maybe it started with a minor fever. And, "Mom, I need to stay home today because I'm feeling not too good." And, you know, kids get sick a lot. You don't think too much about it. You test their head and have them lay down, cover them, keep them hydrated, give them juices. But it's every parent's nightmare when the sickness gets worse and doesn't seem to improve. I have three kids. I've been down that road. I think every parent has. Every parent that's ever had a sick child that you had to take to the hospital, and suddenly the fever escalates and you don't know what it is, or the coughing or the lack of breathing kicks in heavy. My son Grant, when he was a baby, he had trouble sometimes breathing. He had issues with croup cough, and he would get really congested. I'll never forget one time waking up, and he was just a little baby, and he was coughing, and that hoarse croup cough that and wheezing as he tried to breathe, crying, and the more he cried, the less he could breathe. And so he turned on the hot water in the bathroom and scalding hot, so it was full of steam, and we took him in there trying to get him to breathe, and then we took him and opened up the window. It was really cold out there, and had him hanging out kind of trying to breathe a little bit, and it wasn't getting any better. And finally we had to call the ambulance, and the ambulance came, and he was struggling to breathe. And I remember as a father saying, God, he's my child. Lord, open up his air path. Lord, make him be able to breathe. He's my son. There's a desperation that happens when it's your child. How many of you parents know what I'm talking about? I have a 13-year-old son, Grant. I can relate to this age. 12 is a tender age. It's before they've hit their tough high school years. By the time they're 15, it's not so tender, is it? This is a tender age. There's still a little child going into the tween years. This is a little girl. She hadn't yet hit puberty. 12 years old, moving into what it meant to be a little girl. I'm sure the apple of her father's eye. She had become so sick that it was beyond doctor's care. Now, Jairus, who had heard that Jesus was a healer, had power to change people's destiny around. In his desperation, he went with his officials and sought Jesus. And you can see by his approach to Jesus that this was no just, hey, Jesus, could you come over and just pray for my daughter? No, no, he was desperate. The Bible says that he pleaded with Jesus. That he came and he pleaded earnestly, my little daughter is dying. Come, if you could just put your hands on her so that she would be healed and she could live. It would be different, Lord. If you're taking notes today and you feel like a situation is too late, I want you to jot this down. For those of you that feel like situations have gotten beyond solution, I want you to learn from this story. First of all, it's not too late, but you will be tested by circumstances that will challenge your faith. He pleaded with Jesus, and I'm sure that he had an excitement of joy when Jesus said, I'll go with you. Rumor spread throughout the synagogue. His officials were elated. Jesus is coming. So there was a surge of hope. Maybe things can change. Yes, he's on his way home. He'll visit our house. If Jesus is coming, maybe the entire story can change. And this will be a story of gladness instead of a story of sadness.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message called It's Not Too Late, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Jesus Up Close. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Mark, chapter 5. We're in verses 21 through 23 and verses 35 through 43. Tonight's message is called, It's Not Too Late.
I'm sure Jairus was walking along. Jesus, it's this way, Jesus, it's this way. The Bible tells us that there was a huge crowd. And you remember the woman with the issue of blood that reaches out and touches Jesus. And Jesus stops and says, who touched me? Sir Jairus is saying, Jesus, come on, we don't have time, and she's sick. And Jesus stops, and he's asking, and he's talking, and the woman comes and engages in a conversation. I'm sure he sighs. Jairus thinking, it's late. Jesus, come on, there's a big need over here. We really need to hurry up. It's my little girl. And Jesus speaks words of healing to this woman. He stops in the middle of the crowd and addresses this woman. And then Jairus hears the news. As soon as Jesus is done speaking to this woman, he turns around to go with Jairus. And Jairus hears the news from a man from the synagogue. Those words that no parent wants to hear. Those words that will send a shock through your system. Those words that would bring an agony to your soul, that would paralyze you on the moment, that would send you into a big, dark, black hole. Those words that will rivet your world. Those words that will cause a hollowness to come in, a numbness of the spirit. Simple words. Your daughter is dead. I can't imagine what Jairus felt. Jesus heard the words. And they said, "Why bother your teacher anymore? Jesus doesn't have to come. It's too late." Maybe you felt that way before. I'm not even going to bother praying about that. It's just too late. I'm not going to bother trying to get help or reaching out to someone to intervene because I don't think it's going to change. I don't think there's hope. Jesus hears the words, and ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." It's interesting that Jesus says two things. First of all, he says, don't be afraid. You see, faith and fear are not always compatible. Anywhere you see in Scripture where fear begins to take over, you will see that fear pushes faith out the door. Fear begins to focus on the failure, what can go wrong. It's an emotion that gets a grip on our life and begins to say, it's not going to happen, we'll never make it. It begins to focus on the worst case scenario. It tells us that Paul told young Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Anytime that you make decisions out of fear, you are not making God decisions. Once in a while, I'll run into someone that wants to get married. I've had conversations with young ladies, and a 21-year-old lady will say to me, "Well, you know, I'm dating this guy, and I think I'm gonna get engaged to him." And she tells me the story, and I think, "Wow, you just told me everything that's wrong about this relationship. And why do you want to get engaged now?" Literally had this happen. "But I'm 21 years old. I'm never going to find the person for me." Already 21. Settle down, honey. I think you have a few more years left in life. Fear. Fear that maybe I missed the mark. Fear that maybe I won't find anybody love me, and fear that maybe it's not going to work out. And so I grab onto something in fear rather than in faith. Faith says, I believe that God has a purpose and a destiny, and it's in His will. Fear drives us to make decisions out of despair. So Jesus says to this man, do not fear, but instead do the opposite and believe. Do not fear, but yet believe. Number two, I'm talking about when you think it's too late. I want you to notice that it's not too late, but you may have to walk through a crowd of disbelief by yourself. First of all, I want you to notice that you will be tested by circumstances that will challenge your faith, and usually it gets worse before it gets better. Secondly, I want you to notice that oftentimes as we're walking towards the destiny, the change, the turning point, you may have to walk through a crowd or an atmosphere of disbelief by yourself, because there may be many around you that do not believe that change can happen. There'll be people around you that don't believe that God can turn a person's life around. It tells us in the scripture that as Jesus began walking towards his destiny. He said, don't believe, don't be afraid, just believe. Verse 37 says, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and he said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him and he put them out. I want you to notice that as Jesus is walking towards this crowd, getting close to the house of the synagogue leader, he heard what you hear at a lot of funerals. He heard the weeping, the wailing, the mourning, the crying. The interesting thing, however, is that in the Jewish culture, any funeral that was a part of any middle class family usually actually hired mourners. There were professional mourners. I know it seems strange to us, but part of their culture, since even the poor, a scholar by the name of Lane says, since even the poorest man was required by common custom to hire a minimum of 2 flute players and 1 professional mourner in the event of his wife's death, it's probable that one who held the rank of a synagogue ruler would be expected to hire a large number of professional mourners. So their job was to go to funerals and to wail and mourn and to, you know, cry out loud. Imagine having that job. So when's our next gig? Tomorrow night. Okay, all right. Let's smear our mascara. All right. Practice in the mirror the really sorrowful faces. Okay. I want you to be loud, okay? All right, everybody together. High five. Now let's go do it. And so they'd arrive at the funeral not even knowing the person that had died. And they would be the professional mourners. They would wail and they would mourn and they would cry. Now you understand how they could switch their mourning to laughter so quickly. Jesus arrives, they're all mourning, wailing, crying out. And Jesus says, why is all the commotion? She's sleeping, not dead. And then suddenly they crack up. And they're laughing now and ridiculing him. Their sorrow wasn't true. They didn't believe. The crowd did not believe that Jesus could turn things around. It was too late already. And I want you to notice that when Jesus went to the room where this little girl lie, that Jesus brought with him only the inner circle of his disciples. He brought Peter, James, and John. These were the inner core of the 12 disciples. These were the men that Jesus had taken to the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember that? He was on the mountain and the glory of God appeared. These were his inner core, his fired up, faith-filled. They had seen God in his glory. They had seen the manifestation of the power of God. They believed that Jesus could do anything. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you're going to walk through a crowd of unbelief where everybody around you believes that it's over, that it's too late, that nothing can change, that there is no hope. And sometimes you're going to walk through an atmosphere of unbelief as you are moving to the destiny of a touch of God. It tells us in the very next chapter, I don't know if you remember this, but a few chapters, the next chapter in Mark chapter 6, Jesus went to his hometown. In chapter 6 verse 5 it says, and he could do no miracles except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. When Jesus went to his own hometown, there was such an atmosphere of unbelief that when Jesus even attempted to do some things in this oppressive atmosphere of unbelief, it said he could do no miracles because of their atmosphere of unbelief. Listen, I believe that there's something about an atmosphere of faith that allows the power of God to surge in extraordinary ways. I believe there's something about an atmosphere of doubt that puts a wet blanket over what God could do.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Jesus Up Close. Tonight was the first half of his message called It's Not Too Late. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. But before you go, as I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. And you can find it also at the App Store. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. Before you go, we invite you to join us at New Life Midway, 5101 South Keeler, near Midway Airport, where you can hear Pastor Mark in person. If you are on the train, it's the Orange Line with the Pulaski stop. We are just down the street. We'd love to see you there. Please do tune in again tomorrow for the next Straight Talk as we conclude our message called It's Not Too Late. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself tonight. Thanks again for listening. Have a great night, and God bless.